Begin with our entrustment prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the honor and glory of God, and moved by an ardent desire to quench the infinite thirst of Jesus on the cross and in the Eucharist, for love and for souls, we, the members of the USA, lay missionaries of charity, entrust ourselves and our retreat to the care and protection of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We promise that during this retreat, we will pay particular attention to the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We will make every effort to remember the past with gratitude and purified memories, no matter what the past has been. We will try to live the present with joy and enthusiasm. We will listen to God in prayer and in the silence of our hearts, especially during these days, with great interest, love, and concern for one another. We beg pardon of God and want to make reparation for all our infidelities in living our vows faithfully and perseveringly and failing to make present the holiness of God by not forgiving and by not accepting forgiveness. We make every effort to look forward to the future with serene confidence, unfailing hope, and undaunted courage. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the glorious Patriarch Saint Joseph present this entrustment to the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray also a memorare for vocations to the contemplative brothers. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgin, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petition, but in your mercy hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Immaculate Heart of Mary. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. Good morning. I have one logistical note that I was negligent about telling you last night. The conference services will print your boarding passes, which will be very helpful. But to do that, we need you to bring your airline information. And there's a 3x3 sheet of paper in your blue folder. Didn't even realize that, did you? But if you can write the airline information on that and bring it back, I guess we're going to have to do that before Mass, because Mass will take us up until noon. Or would it be all right after noon? Joe? Unless you're leaving early. So. So can we say that they should bring it to lunch?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can bring it to lunch between now and, or if you have to kind of sneak out after, or between Mass and lunch, whatever it is to write out your information. Yeah, and in the card, there's nothing magical about the card, so you can write it on any other sheet of paper, but the cards are... And what we need is the name and flight information. So I guess that would be your name. And the flight information, whatever, flight number, probably departure time, the airline. And also if you could... if you can finish complete the evaluation form that's in there, sometime today, if you could bring it to the last conference, that would be helpful. So sometime this afternoon, if you have a few minutes just to reflect on your experience and give us a little feedback so that it can go even better in the future. How am I doing? Good? Okay, great. Confirmation number. Great. Okay, so for those of you who do not, if you have this sheet, everything you need is on this sheet. Fill it out, bring it to lunch. Okay, if you do not have this sheet, and that would only be because you took it out and you threw it away, or everybody was given this sheet. Okay. All right. Well, anyway. If you do not have this sheet, what you need, so write this down right now. What you need is the flight, your name, the flight date, the flight time, the flight airline, the flight number, and the confirmation number, and or the frequent flyer number. Name, date, time, airline, flight number, confirmation number, and or frequent flyer number.
I have a question. I made reservations for all of us, and we have the same confirmation number. Can I just put all of us on the same sheet, you think?
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Yep.
Get this time on there. The van is going to pick them up this morning. That's the one that did. Maybe that was okay, my mistake.
Thank you. Okay. it's the concrete details in life where we get to work out charity. It's always those fringe moments, the marginal moments, as Archibald Douglas was saying yesterday. All right. I was asked a question. I think I'm going to defer your question to this afternoon, if I can do that. And I'll open up time for more questions this afternoon, if you have them. So you can be thinking in advance. We'll take some time for that. I'd like to. The topic for this morning is on Lectio Divina, and I chose that particularly for this time because it's a great way to help prepare us for Mass. And I want to just read Pope Benedict XVI in his apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, tells us, verse Pope Benedict says, it's at the bottom of page 5 in your handout, the last full paragraph on page 5. Pope Benedict says, in some sense, the prayerful reading of the Bible, personal and communal, must always be related to the Eucharistic celebration. And listen to this comparison now. Just as the adoration of the Eucharist prepares for, accompanies, and follows the liturgy of the Eucharist, so too prayerful reading, personal and communal, prepares for, accompanies, and deepens what the Church celebrates when she proclaims the Word in a liturgical setting. By so closely relating lectio and liturgy, we can better grasp the criteria which should guide this practice in the area of pastoral care and in the spiritual life of the people of God. So as we know, what we did all night last night, communally, and which you did very beautifully, coming together at times throughout the night, and yesterday afternoon in adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament, that's always connected to the liturgy. It's not like we have the adoration thing. It's exactly the kind of striking discovery that I made early in my Catholicism. We eat that which we adore. And that's always connected with the Eucharist. That the Blessed Sacrament was consecrated in the Mass, and of course the Blessed Sacrament is consumed as Holy Communion. And so it's a liturgical moment. It's an extension of especially that moment in the liturgy of the elevation. It's a recognition that there's just not enough time to do all of the praying that we want to do in the context of the Mass, and so we have this extension of that celebration of the Eucharist, of the sacrifice of Christ, of His glorification and His presentation before us, and we extend that over a long period of time to adore Him. So that's all. It's kind of like a virtual private network, and well, anyway, that's not helpful. But the same, Pope Benedict is making the same analogy for us in terms of Scripture and Lectio Divina. The celebration of the Eucharist is sort of the second half of the Mass, if you will. That's a little bit crude to say it that way, but roughly speaking, the second part of the Mass and the celebration of the liturgy of the Eucharist, the first part of the Mass in the liturgy of the Word, we extend that experience through Lectio Divina. So Lectio is to adoration as the liturgy of the Word is to the liturgy of the Eucharist. So that whole interconnection, how do we extend that experience of the liturgy of the Word? How do we continue praying with Scripture and encountering Christ outside of the Mass in a way connected with how we do it inside of the Mass? And it's probably worth saying, how do we do it inside of the Mass? Well, the Second Vatican Council was explicit and very clear, saying when the Scripture is proclaimed at Mass, it is Christ Himself who speaks. Couldn't be more clear than that. It's not an analogy. It's not kind of like Christ. It's not a nice nostalgic experience of when Christ used to speak. When the Word of God is read at the liturgy, it is Christ Himself who speaks. And so if someone says to you later today, did you hear Jesus speaking to you today? You should say yes. Because when you hear the Word of God proclaimed at Mass, it is Christ Himself who speaks. That's how profound that experience is. Just as when we are with the Lord in the Eucharist and when we were kneeling with Him, were you with Jesus in His body last night? Yes. Did you see Jesus today? Yes. We have been with Jesus today in His body. When we hear the Word proclaimed at Mass, we have heard Him speak. And maybe we should be a little embarrassed if someone says, what did He say? Well, I don't remember. What did he look like? Well, I remember that. Looked like a piece of bread. It's very surprising. That's how important the liturgy of the word is if we want to hear him speak. And it's connected with what we were talking about yesterday in having our hearts tuned to his voice. What does he sound like? How does he speak to us? It's a beautiful experience. But Lectio Divina, now Lectio Divina is not a, it's not a magical kind of thing. It's not, Lectio is itself not liturgy. Liturgy has to proceed in a certain way. There's a certain order, there are certain words that must be said, because liturgy was given to us to live out, to carry out, and that's a way that we connect in with the church and the church's encounter with Christ. That's how we're lifted up into heaven. But Lectio is like adoration in the sense that there is a concrete thing that's there. It should be the Word of God. That's what we're really talking about, is doing Lectio with the Word of God. That's the concrete reality. Just like in adoration, the concrete reality is the Blessed Sacrament. But then what's happening in our hearts and how we encounter him in that prayer with Scripture, in that prayer of adoration, that's where there's a lot of personalization that happens, where he speaks to me in a way that's different than he speaks to anyone else. Not fundamentally different. It's not like he's mean to me and he's nice to other people. But it's unique to me. He speaks to my experience in life. He speaks to where I am in my faith journey. He speaks to the trials that I'm encountering. He speaks personally to me in Lectio Divina. And so there's a structure of Lectio Divina that's kind of been discovered over the ages more than something that was given and structured by the church. But it's a helpful structure. It really applies to all of prayer, but has a particular quality because it involves the word and involves reading. And some of you have heard me talk about this before, but what you haven't heard me talk about is the fact that the Holy Father has now talked about it. I actually don't need to teach Lectio anymore because Pope Benedict did it for me. I'm really very, very happy about that. If you, just the next paragraph from where we were, on the bottom of page 5, the paragraph that starts on the bottom of page 5, Pope Benedict, in his office as successor of Peter, gives us a definitive teaching about Lectio Divina, so I don't have to invent it anymore. And he teaches us that there are 4 basic steps. Pope Benedict is the guy that adds the 5th step. You know, there's been 4 steps for 1,000 years. Pope Benedict adds a 5th step, so that's great. And he says, first of all, the process of the prayer of Lectio Divina opens with reading, which in the Latin is Lectio. So you can see that it's the last line there at the bottom of page 5. It opens with the reading of a text, which leads to a desire to understand its true content. And so the question we can ask ourselves in this first phase is, what does the biblical text say in itself? And then he explains why that's important. Without this, there is always a risk that the text would become a pretext for never moving beyond our own ideas. And so we have to listen to what the word is really saying. That's why it's important to begin with the text in front of us and just to read over it, to hear it again. It's amazing how Scripture has this quality that no other writing ever in history has, that it's really a living word. It keeps opening itself up to us more and more fully. What we read as a child is different than as a teenager, is different yesterday, is different today. It's amazing how that opens up to us as our life keeps moving along and we hear God's word freshly. But we have to keep coming back to the text. And that's going to be a real theme in Lectio, is to keep coming back to the text itself. Not our memory of the text, not what we'd like the text to say, but actually the text itself. The next phase, as we're reading from the text, the next comes meditation, in Latin, meditatio, which asks, what does the biblical text say to us, say to me. And Pope Benedict goes on and says, here each person individually, but also as a member of the community, must let himself or herself be moved and challenged. So we read the text itself, but then we say, what does the text say to me or to us? He says to us because we have to be rooted in the church. We never simply reduce our religion to a Jesus and me spirituality. It doesn't go there. We do have a personal relationship with him. There is something radically unique about each of our relationships, but it's always in the context of the whole church, of the whole community. We always have to be rooted in the church. Otherwise, we can do that whole crazy proof texting and biblical interpretation to make, we can make the Bible say anything we want it to say. We always have to be rooted in the living tradition of the church. So what is Jesus, what is the text, what is Jesus saying to us through the scripture? Then he goes on and says, following this comes prayer, oratio, which asks the question, what do we say to the Lord in response to his word? Pope Benedict goes on and gives a traditional expression of the different flavors of prayer. Prayer as petition, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise is the primary way by which the word transforms us. So we read from the text, we ask, what is the text saying to me in this moment? And then we, how are we going to respond to what Jesus is saying to me through the scripture? And our response is prayer. And the response might be, we praise him for his goodness. We praise him for his presence to us. We praise him for the saving grace. Or it moves us to petition. Would that everyone could know the great gift. Would that everyone can have the faith that we have. Or we're moved to petition for those who are suffering, for those who are isolated, for those who are alone, for maybe for someone we were just with earlier today. Our hearts are moved to pray in intercession and petition, in adoration, or in thanksgiving. That what a gift that we've been given. So we respond with our prayer, and then that whole process of listening, notice we listen first, and then responding with our prayer, we hope that that process will help to transform us. And how does it transform us? It transforms us into being able to see, to love, to evaluate life with the heart of Jesus. So that it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who see, but Jesus who is seeing in me, and I who am seeing in him. I no longer look at my enemy as a foe to be opposed, but I look at my enemy as a friend of Jesus, one who he has died for, and one that he wants me also to befriend. I no longer look at the situation where everything has fallen apart, and maybe that's in our own life with a medical diagnosis, or maybe that's a simple thing like hitting every red light between here and the appointment that we're already late for. But I no longer look at my own life as all of these obstacles and difficulties and woe is me, but I look at it through the lens of Jesus. What is he doing in this moment? How is he teaching me? How is he leading me to a different faith? How is he working these things to the good, uniting my sacrifice to his and extending that to the someone who's maybe forgotten, someone who is poor and lost. So we start to take on more and more the heart and mind of Christ. And that stage, that's Pope Benedict's definition of contemplation, contemplatio. To read Pope Benedict, he says, finally, Lectio Divina concludes with contemplation, contemplatio, during which we take up, as a gift from God, his own way of seeing and judging reality, and ask ourselves what conversion of mind, heart, and life is the Lord asking of us. In the letter to the Romans, St. Paul tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Contemplation aims at creating within us a truly wise and discerning vision of reality as God sees it, and at forming within us the mind of Christ. The Word of God appears here as a criterion for discernment. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then Pope Benedict adds the fifth stage of Lectio, which has never been added as far as I know, and he points out that we do well also to remember that the process of Lectio Divina is not concluded until it arrives at action, actio, which moves the believer to make his or her life a gift for others in charity. Now, if we're... It was perhaps never added before because it seems to be a natural implication. If we are taken up into this encounter with Jesus, this way of seeing as he sees, we're overwhelmed by his love and the way that he speaks to us, then we're moved naturally to give that gift. We're always moved to action. So in a certain sense, the criterion of action is a way of evaluating whether we've had genuine prayer. If it's not moving us to action, if it's not moving us to deeper charity, it's not prayer. Our prayer is lacking something. We need a more openness, we need a more authentic form of prayer. Prayer can become a kind of escapism. If we're running to the chapel in order to avoid life, it's not a good answer. If we're running to the chapel to receive God's love so that we can better face life, that's a good answer. That's a good prayer. But our prayer is always naturally going to move us to actio, to action, which is not a lot of busyness and becoming a busybody. It's not that there is a contemplative life in the church, although the contemplative life in the church is always still moved to the action of charity, either by praying for or in contemplative communities, and Father Sebastian can witness to this even better than I can, the love of the brothers for each other is a necessary part of our life, living out our prayer, the charity for each other, and obviously the contemplative brothers do service for the poor as well. But the actio is a natural movement from any form of prayer. So Pope Benedict has given us this beautiful movement of Lectio, first of all, starting with the text. What does it say in itself? And we have to listen carefully. We will always keep hearing it newly, things we never noticed before. Every word is intentional in the Bible. God wrote it. If he didn't want the word to be there, it wouldn't be there. He put it there intentionally, and he put it there intentionally 2,000 years ago, knowing that you and I would be reading it today. So God can do that. We can't do that, but God can do that, and he did do that. Every word is intentional. So we listen with great attention when the scripture is read. And we start to ask, okay, I understand what this means in itself. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Sometimes things are confusing when we're reading the Bible. We don't know what the heck it's talking about. But even not knowing all of the details, we can take a phrase, we can take a word and ask, what's the Lord saying to me in this? How is he speaking to me today, in this moment? And then as we realize how he's speaking to us through that listening, we're moved to a prayerful response. How am I going to respond to the Lord? The one form of prayer that I'll have to ponder why he left it out, but I would like to add it in. You can take that as I'm not the successor of Peter, so I don't have the same authority, but I'll propose it to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will confirm it. But also the prayer of reparation, of repentance, turning back to the Lord. Our hearts can be pierced by the word that we read, and we want to turn our lives back to him. We realize that we haven't been as loving as we should have been. We haven't been doing the things we should do. We haven't had the attitudes that we should have. And so we turn our life back to him. That's part of our prayerful response. And of course, that moves into petition and thanksgiving and praise, so it fits in there. But we're moved to praise him, to thank him, to ask his forgiveness, to pray for others through what we hear in the word. And then more and more that should lead to a conversion, a changed way of thinking, a changed way of viewing reality, And it conforms us more and more to Christ. When Jesus is there in the upper room at the celebration of the Eucharist, he isn't saying, "Woe is me, how I'm going to suffer." He says, I have eagerly longed to celebrate this Passover with you. He doesn't say, it's going to get, everything fell apart. My whole plan has crumbled beneath me. Nothing went the way I wanted it to go. He says, if I do not go, I cannot prepare a place for you, and the Holy Spirit will not come to you. He says, it's necessary that I go. He's able to see everything in a surrender to the Father. So it teaches us in our own moments of crisis, even when we're about to die, it teaches us a different attitude, a different way of seeing reality, to meditate on God's word, to let that speak to us. Now I'd like to... Oh, I know what I did. I'm just going to take the reading that we had from morning prayer this morning, just to do a little walkthrough of Lectio. So you can just listen. You don't need to follow along with that. And then we're going to take a little bit of time and try and do a little group Lectio experience and take the time to pray together with Scripture. And it's also going to be a way of doing that adoration with Scripture, if you will. That preparation for Mass. We're going to look at the Mass readings for today and share those with each other and let the Lord speak to us. But I just want to do a little walkthrough of kind of how this can go as we make it a little more concrete. So the first stage of Lectio, just listening to the text, and again, just taking the reading from morning prayer. God raised up Jesus on the third day and granted that he be seen not by all, but only by such witnesses as had been chosen beforehand by God. God raised up Jesus on the third day and granted that he be seen not by all, but only by such witnesses as had been chosen beforehand by God. God raised up Jesus on the third day and granted that he be seen not by all, but only by such witnesses as had been chosen beforehand by God. God desired not to be seen by all, but only by certain witnesses that he chose. He desired not to be seen by all, but only by such witnesses as had been chosen beforehand by God. Makes me think that God doesn't want everyone to do everything. Makes me think about my own life, how many times I try to do so much, to be everything to everyone. But God does not want everyone to see him or everyone to witness it to him. He wanted some to witness and others to receive that witness and then to share that witness. He chose not to be seen by all, but only by such witnesses as had been chosen beforehand by God. He chose them. I don't know why he chose them. He chose them for his reasons, not for my reasons. Perhaps not because they were so good, but because he wanted to make them good by letting them see him. He chose them and not everyone. And so it helps me reflect on my own life. Are there ways that I am trying to do more than he is asking me to do? He hasn't given me everything to do everything. So I'm beginning to meditate with the word that I've heard. He chose to be seen not by all, and he has chosen me for certain things, and he hasn't chosen me for everything. And am I doing too much? Am I not doing enough? Am I doing all of the things that he is asking me to do? And it moves me to prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I'm trying to do things that I'm not supposed to do, that you're not asking me to do, that I'm taking on myself. I'm sorry for the ways that I become anxious because I'm trying to do things you're not asking me to do. Lord, I'm sorry for the ways that I'm not attentive to the things that you do want me to do because I'm so focused on doing other things that you don't want me to do. Lord, I'm sorry for the ways that I don't ask for help enough, that I'm not asking others to do and thus also empowering them, perhaps being your instrument to call them to do more. Lord, I pray for anyone who is suffering from trying to do too much. Help us to have more time to reflect, more time to be with you, more trust in you, that we can be responsive to your love, that we can be responsive to the ways that you are calling us, that you are seeking us, that you are guiding us. Lord, you have the whole plan in mind. You chose these witnesses beforehand because you knew that they would be the right ones. Help me not to second guess you. Help me not to impose my own plans over your plan. And then our prayer may just bring us to a rest as we perhaps work through that God loves us, that he has chosen us for certain things, and we can just come to a rest. Contemplation will be experienced in some ways as just resting with him. And we realize maybe a change in attitude, a change in behavior. We ask the Lord for that. And then Lexio can just continue. And these movements of reading and meditation and prayer and contemplation, they get interwoven and there isn't a strict order. And we're just doing all of this in our relationship with God and our conversation with him. And we might continue with, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. We were chosen, we who ate and drank with him. And don't we still do that in the Eucharist? Doesn't he allow us to still eat and drink with him? And we see him. He has chosen some to see him, and we see him as we eat and drink with him in the Eucharist. Lord, we're so grateful for the gift of the Eucharist, so grateful that you make yourself present to us. We thank you for being with us in the Eucharist, for letting us see you, for letting us hear you and listen to your word. So grateful for the love that you have shown us, each one of us, giving us the gift of faith to be able to see you. So grateful that you give us the chance to eat and drink with you after you rose from the dead and you are present to us in your resurrection. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness and your love specifically for us. So this process of Lexio, just a very simple process of we're soaking in the Word of God. It's really like fresh spring water to our souls to be able to hear His voice, to hear the sweet words of Scripture, but not just to read it like an academic text, not just to read it to get through it, but to read it in a way that we let Him speak to us, that we let Him reach our hearts, we let Him console us and challenge us and direct us to pray for others. Just working with the text. I just want to make a quick word about doing this as a group. It's a little different process to do it with others, but it's a beautiful way to pray with others and even to talk. I encourage, and I've taught a number of married couples how to do Lexio Divina together, to read Scripture together. It's a beautiful way to talk with each other. Sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable with each other and to share our faith with each other. Even those of us who are doing this, you know, really in vows and committed to it. But sharing, starting with Scripture and being that, letting that be a common center point can help us actually open up to each other and to share more deeply. So it's a beautiful way in friendships and relationships, in groups, with meetings. It's a wonderful way just to start sharing, how is Jesus speaking to me in this word that we're hearing together? And that's kind of what we share. I have a little process. How many regional links do we have here?
There are three.
Yeah. There are three here. There's two national links, huh?
Yes, the national candidates.
And then the regional links. So I'm just looking for some facilitators. We're going to break into about 8 or 10 groups. You don't need any special knowledge, but I want you to pay a particular attention when I'm talking about this process. So the regional links, the national links. We'll see how many. That's five, six people all together. Five. five altogether. And then I think Barb will help me, and maybe Bridget will help me. So that'll be seven, and I'll do a group, so that'll be eight. I think that'll be good. We'll have eight groups. And we'll just get together. I have a handout with today's readings on them. And I think we'll start with the gospel, and probably that's all we have time for before we start Mass today. But you have the other readings. You can keep praying with them throughout the day, maybe. And what we'll do for the group Lectio process is, well, first of all, we just read the text. Remember, Pope Benedict said the first thing we have to do is listen to the text itself. So we read the text, and it's so good we're going to read the text again. But we'll read the text and just have a little pause, maybe for about a minute, and then it's nice to hear it in a different voice. So we'll have two different readers. So we'll read the text once, we'll read the text again. And I do have this process, I wrote it out on the sheet too, just the summary of it. So you don't have to hurriedly write anything down right now. But we'll hear the text once, we'll hear the text again. And when we're hearing the text, we want to listen for a particular word or phrase that stands out to us. That's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit hooks our hearts. He doesn't beat us over the head with things. That's not how God is. But he just tickles us a little bit with a word. So it doesn't have to be a word. Can be even a single word, maybe a little phrase. And that's the word that he's speaking to us personally. That's one of the ways he's going to speak to us personally. And so then we're going to have about 2 minutes of silence. And this is where the regional links, the leaders of the group will be helpful to keep that space. So have about 2 minutes of silence. And we'll just play with that word. Keep going over that word. Let it even just say it, even without thinking about it, you know, just repeat it internally, or that little phrase. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 10 times. Just keep playing with it in your heart. And then start to open up. What does that word mean? Why did Jesus say that to me? What is he telling me in this time? How is he speaking to me through that word? That's our meditation. Starts to open up a meditation. And that's all the farther we'll go just in that first silence. Just a meditation. What's he saying to me through that word? And then at the end of the 2 minutes, if anybody wants to just give a brief statement. The word that he spoke to me was, just like I was saying here, the word he spoke to me was, he was seen not by all. He was seen not by all. He chose to be seen not by all. And that was starting to say to me that that maybe the Lord, he doesn't want me to do all of the things that I'm doing. So just a simple, it doesn't have to be a long explanation. You can take a little bit of time to share if you want, but we'll just have a simple sharing the first time around. And then we'll listen to the reading again. We always have to keep going back to the text. It's so important to do that. So we'll have another reader just read through it once more. And now we're going to listen to the word that we heard, and we're going to hear it again in context. He's been saying some things to us. Does it fit into the reading? Is he telling me something different? Maybe he opens up a new word to me. He's saying something else to me. And then we'll have a 2 minute time of silence again. We'll meditate again. We'll respond in our prayer. Lord, help me to let go of all of the things that I'm doing and do only what you're doing, whatever it is. However he's speaking to you, we'll take that time for prayer. And then again, after that 2 minute silence, if people want to share a little bit about how's that conversation going? And the sharing is always free, so you don't have to share. You shouldn't feel bad if you don't share, but it's an opportunity to speak and share what the Lord's saying. We can have a little conversation about that. So we'll try and take about a half an hour to do that all together, and then we'll come back and just take a little bit of silent time before we have Mass. Okay?
Yes.
Good. All right. And let's spread out all over. There's lots of room. A few people. In general, let's try and keep the chapel quiet for silence. Since we're going to be doing some praying in here, I think it would be fine to do our Lectio together in here for prayer. But in general, let's try and keep the chapel silent so that if people want to keep praying after Mass or whatever, and I have to obey this too. I'm having little logistical conversations in the back, and I'm going to be better about that. But let's try and keep the chapel silent, except for this Lectio time. We can do a little bit of praying and talking in here. So maybe like four groups can stay in here and just kind of spread out, and then maybe a group out, a couple of groups out in the area out there. Even a couple of groups could go and sit at a table outside. And maybe if all of the links could stand up, the people I called to lead could stand up and just come forward, and then we can cycle you out. And if and maybe you can just walk out, and if maybe 8 or 10 people would follow. Eight or ten people follow Marie. Eight or ten people. Just find a link to join in a group.